Welcome to the Minivate Gang podcast for Saturday, October 3rd, 2009. This is Steve Borsch, and on with me is Tim Elliott.
Hey, Steve, I'm still paying those heavy dues.
Graham Thickens from Northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, I hope you can't hear the rain beating on the top of my car right now.
No, not at
but
all.
Here I am.
Phil Wilson.
They call me Phil Bland Chitlin Wilson.
And our very special guest, Mark Kurtz. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm fine, Steve. Wow, special guest. Very special.
You are special. That's right.
You're very special.
Thanks. Good to catch up with you guys again.
So you are, I know you've had a title of VP of New Media at Gage Marketing, responsible for strategy execution and revenue measurement of digital media. But you recently added a title, Chief Growth Officer, and obviously you're doing, you know, everything in the new media space around that. Where'd the title come from?
Yeah, it includes janitorial services as well, but it's a term we're starting to see emerge in the agency world as far as, you know, focusing on our top clients, top brands, and it's kind of a new position. And it's encompassing all the different divisions.
Oh, great. And you've worked with all kinds of major companies. I know you've done a lot with Microsoft and Nestle. And who are some others?
Yeah, one thing that's really interesting about Gage is we probably have the best kept secret in the Twin Cities region, if not in the nation, just with our portfolio. But the brands we have in our portfolio are all big. You know, they're the Microsofts, as you mentioned. It's Coca-Cola. It's 3M. It's
Oh,
Best
really?
Buy. It's being able to provide all those accountable marketing, I guess, is kind of the focus we have at Gage is having a lot of metrics behind everything we do. And it's served us well. You know, in the last couple of years when the economy's been kind of tough, you know, people need to know how their money's being spent. We've actually been growing. So that's, knock on wood, a good thing.
So they just don't give it to you for impressions or
no? I think you had Dan Malin on a couple weeks ago and yeah. You know, they're talking about the agency model, you know, changing, and we're seeing that on a daily basis. And everybody's now needs to be accountable for how their marketing budgets are being spent.
Yeah. Well, we got to get into that a little bit, but before we do, and if you two promise not to go off on this as a tangent, but you grew up in Australia and Graham, you were born there. I don't know how old you were when you left.
Six.
You were how old?
Six
years old. Okay. How long, Mark, when did you leave?
Actually, just to check that, I actually lived in Australia I didn't grow up there, but I lived there for many, many years. So, I carry a U.S. passport, so I can't claim the Aussies as my people.
Yeah.
But having lived there for many years and started companies there, it's kind of a second home.
Yeah, whereabouts did you live when you were there?
All over Sydney. So, huh? You know, over on the Manly, Elizabeth Bay, down in French's Forest, which is in the northern suburbs up by North Sydney. And didn't get to be a good surfer like Graham is, but when I see Graham taking on those waves up in Lake Superior, I'm thinking, wow, this guy
hey,
is...
I don't go out in those, and by the way, they're 12 to 16 feet, supposedly, yesterday and today. I have buddies out there right now. I'll bet one thing, though, Mark, I'll bet you can speak Australian better than I can.
No worries, Max.
Yeah, that's about all I know, too. It's good, mate. But I hear Aussies talking, you know, in their lingo, and it's like, I don't understand what the hell they're talking about. But I like them. They're good guys, you know. We had have a lot of fun at the local Australian New Zealand Association, and there's an Aussie rules football team, too.
In the Twin Cities.
Play your little, yeah, wow. And over at Nokomis, they play during the summer every weekend, yeah. I think it's called the Minnesota Freeze.
Well, you know what's interesting? We were in Melbourne for about a week, a little over a week last summer. And all my wife says whenever something comes up now is, no worries.
Yep.
Yeah. Or the one thing Grandma says to me when he's busy, he goes, I'm flat out like a lizard drinking.
Oh, man.
And I never did figure that one out. So. Anyway, Steve, what were we talking about getting us on a tangent?
Well, yeah, right. Well, you know,
I was going to say, I'm actually interested in marketing. So yeah. Marketing question when you're done talking about Australia.
Go for it, Tim.
Yeah, so Mark, I was wondering about client adoption of social media as part of your outreach and your campaigns. Is it just growing by leaps and bounds, or are they kind of just putting a toe in the water?
There are every one of our clients wants to talk about leveraging social media. And I guess the caveat I always advise our clients here is that, it's not free. You know, they say the platforms are out there, and yes, there's a lot of free stuff you can use, but there is a lot of effort required, and managing in the community, making sure that you have compelling content to talk about. There are a lot of big initiatives around, hey, we want to have this integrated with our big campaigns. So it's every one of our clients is looking at it. Yes, some are putting their toe in the water, but most are now realizing they got to get on board.
And I guess Steve is going to probably follow up on this, but how do you measure engagement? What kind of tools do you use? How do you report back the ROI?
Yeah, and that's the, what we have to provide for every one of our campaigns. So when you look at social media, and I present on this all the time, it's not in so silo. In fact, I'm probably one of the biggest fans of social media, having been in the wiki world and used generated content and talking about social media before it was social media. And I'll say to our clients, hey, social media is dead, not dead in a way that it's, not going away, but it's part of marketing. So when you look at metrics that go along with social media, I know I get, you're a heretic for saying social media is dead. It's marketing practice. So what we look at is engagement rates, for clients, depending if they're B2B, B2C. We look at ratings and reviews, especially on the consumer side. If they're on the business side, that may not be as an important metric. We look at comments. So when we have new products or new services for our clients to get launched, we look at what are people talking about. So Tim, to answer some of your questions about what tools we use, we have internally, we have listening tools. So we've got Radiant 6 that we use to listen to what our clients are saying. There's a couple other ones that we're evaluating. Microsoft has one coming up called Looking Glass. It's in super secret beta right now. Maybe they'll do a release of that pretty soon. Then we tie that all back to how our products and messaging being talked about out there. So we do have a lot of listening tools in there. And then we also have to react to them. So for our clients that look at monitoring the conversations, they also have to engage, and they have to do it in an appropriate way. So all of our big brands have to have a social media policy for anybody that wants to engage. And I'd be curious just for you guys too to see how that's been received across the different people you talk to, because it's very, very difficult for a large company to have a social media kind of policy in place.
Can I just interrupt you for one sec,
yeah,
Mark?
Please do.
What you just said, I just want to really put an emphasis on it, because we had this at the social media breakfast last Friday. Yeah. There was just a really great conversation that Eric Hansen spearheaded. And one of the things I know I brought up, and other people are sort of talking about this in the same way, was unfortunately many look at social media as yet another channel of distribution for messaging. And it's akin to walking into a party and not even introducing yourself to anyone, just walking around with business cards and brochures about your business. And you can't be a bull in a china shop with social media. So do you try to formulate or encourage your clients to formulate policies and direction to put guardrails around where people can go and the sorts of things they can do? Is that the crux of it?
I don't think it's necessarily guardrails. I think how do they want to engage, and what's the tone? How do they put a personality around the brand? Especially at Gage, we have this responsibility. We're stewards for the brand and for every one of our clients. It's a very, very important responsibility. And when you're talking about that brand in, let's use your example of going to a cocktail party, you want to make sure you're representing that brand appropriately. And the same goes for anything on social media. So we want to encourage people. to participate. We want to get that connection going. I think even, you know, here we are on the eve of the MEMA summit, and I'm a big fan of Seth Godin. And one of the things he talks about is having authentic discussions. That's what social media allows us to do. And it is another engagement point. I wouldn't say it's channel is one word you can look at, but I think it's just a continuity of that whole relationship you have with your customers and your partners.
Well, I think that I agree, Mark, that it's what we talked about again last Friday, and also a post I did at Remain Calm not too long ago was about this thought that, you know, social media was created for companies to advertise on, and it's not. It's not an advertising channel per se. It is a social channel. It's where people hang out and talk to each other and get to know each other and build relationships on. So it's got to be viewed differently. It's a two-way conversation as opposed to what other media has always been to major companies. And I agree that, Mark, you're right on the money that it's expensive. It's expensive from an engagement standpoint. Not necessarily the tools, that's fairly low price, but the engagement, you've got to have people that really care. I work with a little local restaurant that's got a bit of a social media strategy, and they're still struggling with that because it's not on their mind every day. It's one of those, okay, well, we got to send out a tweet for a coupon, or we've got to send out something to our email database, and then it's like, okay, well, that's done, and back to running the business. So it's not the easiest easiest challenge to live up to.
Exactly, Jimmy. It has to be part of your it has to become part of your DNA. And when I talk to clients about this, we'll say, there's the four P's of marketing, product placement, positioning, packaging, but you need that fifth P when you come to social media, and that's passion. And people can sense it. I mean, consumers are smart, and they can smell a scam or somebody's trying to force a conversation a mile away. And I think if the brands are truly authentic to their messaging, and you can tell if people believe in what they're doing, if it's done right on social media, I think the companies that try to force it by doing too many promotions or promotions in general, they'll fail. But if they establish an authentic conversation and listen and provide genuine feedback, that's where you really see it work well. And the thing is, it's not going to move the needle too much quarter by quarter, week by week. It's more of like year by year. Okay, I really feel that this brand cares about me. Again, tying back to the MEMA summit, the tribes concept, I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's exactly true. Nordstrom does this, right? They provide good service. In the short term, it's probably not the smartest thing for them to do, but long term, they've got loyal customers that'll pay a top dollar for their product because of the experience.
Well, there was an incredibly fascinating conversation that I had. Now it's about almost 2 years ago. My wife, when I met her, she was a buyer at Target stores, and so she knew this guy named Ron Johnson, who is now the SVP of the Apple stores. And we were at the Edina Apple store, and Ron was there, and we, he and Michelle were talking, and then we struck up a conversation, and then he asked me about my background, and I told him, and I had been at Apple, and Ben in 1983 was in Hawaii when Jobs introduced the Mac and stuff like that. And he started to ask me a bunch of questions. What do you think of the store? Does it meet your needs? Blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, what was really fascinating to me was that Apple didn't use a CRM system. They didn't know anything about me, or at least appeared not to, where they have all this data about what I consume in iTunes, the products that I own that I've registered, yada, yada, yada. But there's nothing that's personalized. And then we talked briefly about social media, even though Twitter hadn't hit yet, and so on. And here was the punchline. And I'm wondering about how you guys deal with this with your clients. The punchline was that he said, Steve, personalized, individualized, engaging conversations with, social media, responding to comments on blogs, things like that, he says, doesn't scale. And he said, the problem that we have is we have millions and millions of rabid fans, and it just doesn't scale. So I started, that has always sat in the back of my mind and has been this little troubling gremlin that's been sort of chewing away at at my enthusiasm for big corporate social media and ways in which they engage. So how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, and I actually kind of not disagree with that. That doesn't scale. I just say it does scale, but it just takes a long time. And if somebody says, I need to have, you know, 1,000 key followers this quarter, you know, you're not going to get that. But if you start out with, you know, these are my key, you know, 10 folks that really are passionate about my brand, and then it starts to scale exponentially that way. I would say that it does scale. It just takes time. But how do we handle that for our clients? And it's a quiz I give them. So, and I have a real world example I can share with you too, but the quiz goes something like this. What would you rather have? 250,000 people buying your brand or 2,500 passionate about your brand? And, you know, I think all of us on the phone or on the call here will agree that it's people that are passionate about your brand, because they'll do, you know, more and more and more throughout the lifetime of your organization, as opposed to being kind of mediocre average fans. And example I point out is, and this is, you know, non-disclosure or disclaimer, we're not Nike's not a client of ours, but I see what Nike's done with, I think they call it their Breakfast Club fitness. And they reached out to all these people to start doing their online fitness routines and et cetera. And they interviewed the guy who's heading it up, and they spent, I don't know, millions on it. And the interviewer said, well, how many active people did you have? And I was expecting, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And they said, oh, we had about 850. And that's when it dawned on me. Wow. And this was a couple of years ago. It's probably 3 years ago now. This is, wow, they only had 850. What was that? Traditional marketing, you say, what was that cost for acquisition? It was high, right? Thousands. But these were the club owners. These were the fitness instructors. These were the influencers. And that's what I think social media is great at, is continuing that conversation. So, yeah, when we say it doesn't scale, if you look at it from a traditional analytic perspective of, you know, what was our cost per lead, what was our cost per acquisition, you're going to be disappointed if you look at it just from that way. If you look at it holistically, from the brand side, as far as, wow, did we get this person who can now evangelize to another 5,000 people? That's when you really start to see the momentum.
Mark, this is Graham. I wanted to step in here, and this is where it starts to get sort of overlap into PR. And I know you guys are an advertising agency or a branding agency, but social media, when it comes to creating relationships and engaging in conversations, starts to get into the area of blogger relations and so forth. And you guys probably end up dabbling in that as well, do you not?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that does come across a lot of our big brands too, because it's like we're on the same calls with the PR agency. And, you know, who's doing this part of it? You know, so who's managing the community? Is it the PR agency? Is it the marketing agency? It's really interesting to see how that kind of evolves. You know, I would say PR is really good at shaping the message out there, but I think, you know, marketing and advertising agencies have to kind of facilitate those conversations that can't be forced. So, yeah, I'm seeing
Mark,
as well, Graham.
Isn't that the root of the flaw, though, right there? Is that who's managing the conversation, the PR agency or the marketing agency? Shouldn't the company be managing that?
Yeah, I don't think they have to manage it from a hands-on perspective. I think they have to be listening and shaping it, maybe, is a better way to say it. You know, back when, I know a lot of us go back a long way, but we were talking about wikis and, you know, how somebody put up a wiki site and, you know, then a company will say, oh, we got to control that wiki site. And I think it goes back to that old adage. If you try to absolutely control your message online, you're going to lose complete control, because it's so easy for somebody to start an insight or a wiki site or whatever, and you just can't control it all. You can't.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying, Mark, is that if, a PR agency is trying to get message across, and the marketing agency is trying to get their message across, and they're trying to manage this conversation. I mean, isn't that the danger, that you're going to lose control and you're going to really tick off your crowd? And should it be really left to, shouldn't somebody inside the company be the one in charge, the one that is passionate about the product, not somebody that's paid to be passionate about the product?
Absolutely. To your point about marketing agencies and PR agencies trying to control too much, it'll get, you know, out of control. To the point of having either one person, you know, manage that, I think there's a risk there that, you know, for clients, and a perfect example is that Robert Scoble. You know, when he's at Microsoft, he was known as Robert Scoble, blogger, not Robert blogging on behalf of Microsoft. And he basically made an industry to himself. And I give him a lot of credit. I listen to his blogs, and he's like, I don't know how he has the energy to do that all the time. But, you know, I think the best practices we've seen are kind of like what JetBlue. You know, Marty St. George is a CMO over there, and they've got a team of people that'll field, you know, tweets. They'll monitor what's happening on social media, and they'll engage. You know, are they going to try to say, no, you're saying it the wrong way. This is the way, you know, our PR firm told us to handle this. Not necessarily. I think they're just hiring passionate, smart people that understand the brand. So I would, you know, I guess the recommendation there, and it sounds like Tim, we're looking at it the same way, is having a team of people that can act as your social media community managers, social media ambassadors. I don't know if that's a term. It's just one made up. But
it's all right, Mark. The whole thing is made up. We're all about it. We're all about that. We're making up the rules as we go along, and that's the way it should be.
That's the beauty of it. I was in a conversation yesterday with a client. They said, "Oh, we want to have this campaign launched, and we want to have it ready for back to school 2010, and we want to make sure Twitter and Facebook." And I said, "Okay, stop, guys, stop. Maybe it won't be Twitter next fall. You know what I mean? It might be something else. I'm betting it. Twitter will still be around."
Well, especially with all the cash they supposedly raised. Yeah. Should be interesting.
$100 million. What I was going to say is this: all this talk about messaging, it speaks to the importance of everyone being on the same page, you know, inside the company and the outside agencies. And that's always been the case, but I think with social media, it's even more the case that you better have the messaging figured out. And, you know, with people off freelancing things, you know, it can get out of control, you know, and I think, you know, the team approach, as you said, Mark, is certainly, you know, and there's so much listening that has to take place, you know, the so-called monitoring. I mean, it's time intensive. It takes a lot of people watching and listening and, you know, getting the temperature of the marketplace and what people are saying about your brand and so forth. And,
Graham, you bring up another really good point, and that's, you know, we've kind of been focusing on social media to reach, you know, customers, partners, consumers, but also use the social media internally. And how, you know, to that point, how do we keep everybody on message because things are changing so fast? And we also advocate a lot of our clients use social media to facilitate communications inside the organization because we have so many, you know, large clients. And this is not just for large companies, but small, but large, especially because, you know, let's say we do come up with messaging and, you know, maybe want to yield questions from, you know, I think the best source of getting good marketing messaging is actually from the direct sales force. You know, they're out there talking to the customers or the partners on a daily basis, and they come up with some great ideas. How do we, and this, I think, is the key thing about social media, how do we foster that discovery? And that's kind of what I've been, you know, blogging about for years, is we're not encouraging. Well, the search is out there, but you can't search for something if you don't know it's there. But how do we foster discovery? And I think that's what's the real value of what we're going to see for social media, not necessarily just for the external audiences, but also internal to your organization. Really fascinating. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's interesting you bring up the Salesforce because sales enablement platforms. There's actually a Twin Cities company called iCentera, based in Burnsville, that is a leader in the sales enablement field. And social media is becoming a huge part of that, where they're integrating social media tools to enable the, you know, so you know what the frontline salespeople are doing, and they can, you know, be communicating with the marketing folks so much better. And, you know, it becomes sort of a real time It's way beyond CRM. It's managing all the marketing assets and managing all the conversations that go on both internally between marketing and sales and everybody else, but also with the partners. You know, they actually, iCentera facilitates portals for both internal use, you know, and with partners and customers, actually customer portals as well. So, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, way back in the days when the oldest animals were puppies and I was still a software engineer, you know, we used to get these reports. We had a direct sales force as a software company in the West Coast that did connectivity software. And we had a huge sales staff all over the world. And every week, you know, they'd and I kid you not, we would fax in, or the sales force would fax in their weekly activity report. And, you know, every company was doing this. But very succinctly, we had a pulse on what all of our clients were doing throughout the world. You know, now you flash forward a couple decades, and now you're starting to see that with being able to gather that in real time using social media, but also, and this is, again, how these all become integrated to your point there, Graham, is how we now leverage, you know, call centers. You know, I think call centers can be very, very strategic for organizations, and the ones that just outsource it with scripts and saying, hey, if somebody calls in saying this, you know, they might be doing themselves a huge disservice because if they actually have a client on the phone that's saying, I didn't like this about your product, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. We'll ship you out, blah, blah, blah. They might be missing a huge opportunity to create a new product or expand the market. And how does that tie into social media? Well, all of a sudden you're starting to monitor these conversations. And we go back to the Clue Train Manifesto. I know we've all read it.
I need to see those guys.
Get on you, mate. You know, it's you know, conversation are markets, and that's, you know, that was before social media. Conversations are markets, and if, you know, how we tap into that, this is why it's so fascinating to be where we are right now in this industry market.
Well, you know, go ahead, Graham.
I was going to say the original Clue Train Manifesto guys are all going to be on stage together for the first time in 10 years at the DFRAG conference.
Oh, really?
In Denver, so I'm looking forward to seeing those guys. There, three of them were buddies of mine way back.
Yeah, you must know Mike Levine pretty well, huh?
Levine is the one guy I don't know very well. I know the other guys, you know, Chris Locke and Doc Searles and David Weinberger. Wow. And supposedly all four of them are going to be on stage together, so that ought to be a kick.
Wow, that'll be great. No, the one thing I was going to mention about the thanks for bringing up the iCentera, because I totally hadn't gone there with specifically inside sales or customer service. You know, the customer service is the new marketing meme that a lot of people talk about. But we're kind of hitting on something that's been really fascinating when I've talked with clients about building out their FAQs and why they need to invest so much time, effort, and energy in doing that. Is they need to try to cover as many use cases as possible, but they can't cover them all. And so somebody might need this thing, but they need this Dweebazarb over here. And oh, by the way, to your point, Mark, if enough people ask for that Dweebazarb through conversation or through somehow articulating that need, then product management should be paying attention to say, hey, maybe we should go build a Dweebazarb.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think instilling that culture, again, we're going back to the brand culture of organizations, of everybody, I don't care what role you have within the organization. You know, I made, you know, reference of, you know, custodial services, but everybody from the person at the front desk to the CEO needs to be to recognize and be aware of potential new opportunities. And that's, again, that's what I think is great about some of the tools we have at our disposal, because everybody has a chance to make a difference. It's not getting filtered anymore.
Speaking of tools, Mark, let me just ask a quick question about tools. You're obviously working with some tools that would be, or your clients are, that would be for internal, the social media, the Yammer kinds of tools.
Yeah, you know, we're using Yammer internally. I'm seeing some of our larger clients start to look at Yammer and use it. It's, you know, again, it's still the same challenges internally.
or same challenges we face externally are faced internally as well. And that's, you know, people have to be passionate about, hey, this is how we use it. It's, you know, this addiction to email just drives me nuts, and we're never going to get rid of it. Maybe Wave, if we ever see it, we'll be that, that freedom from email. But, you know, these conversations that kind of need to happen organically across, you know, your internal organization as well as across the world externally are ones we want to mine, you know, for ideas and find out who actually is the leaders, not managers, but, you know, who's showing leadership within an organization. That can come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the number of tools that are coming around for, you know, internal use and to integrate internal, external is amazing. And you know, like I say, the sales enablement platform that, you know, they're making, they're bringing social media into that as well. So yeah, there are many great tools coming out there. See, I was going to ask you one other thing quickly too, Mark. Do you happen to be working on the social media aspect of the Windows 7 launch?
The quick answer is maybe. and the reason I say that is because have you guys seen the House Party campaigns? Have you seen that? I don't know.
Say again.
Yeah.
Oh, that House Party.
The videos.
Party.
Yeah. Leo Laporte is going to have one.
So I think it's a little bit forced, to be honest with you. But, you know, I can say that with our involvement, it's all supporting partners. So, you know, you're not seeing big nationwide social media outreach from Gage for Windows 7 launch, but for all the big partners that are out there, we're enabling the back-end system. So we're doing a lot of the reporting and, you know, what are the topics that are coming, et cetera. So that's pretty interesting because
you've
it's such
you've
a...
Obviously, I was going to say you've obviously run into our buddy Steve Bent that took the position, left Best Buy to take the position with Microsoft on the Windows 7 social media.
Yeah, that's... That's I think they're really getting some good folks in there that bring in some field experience, you know, that know what's happening at the consumer level. So I thought it was a very, very smart move.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys seeing out there? Just to round it out as far as internal collaboration tools. I mean, it seems like there's a new one every day, but anyone that's getting traction that you guys have seen?
Good question.
Not really. You know, just, you know, continue to hear a lot of talk about Yammer, I guess. But, gosh, there's so many. I mean, I've got an analyst report that sizes up, you know, like 20 of them. You know, our local guy, Ben Edwards, is a co-founder of a company called Headmix. They were working with Best Buy. I don't know if that implementation has gotten off the ground yet. But that's essentially a tool for large, far-flung organizations, you know, like Best Buy with many stores, to actually have the store people, you know, plugged in, because those young kids, they don't use email, you know.
Right.
Email's guest for them, you know. Yep.
So, you bring up another really interesting topic in regards to social media, and that's kind of like this, I don't know, day partying or whatever you want to call it, but because of the mobile ubiquity of the mobile platforms, you know, now we can do like, hey, you got a minute to spare here, you know, give us some feedback on this. We're seeing this a lot with in the retail environment, especially where, you know, hey, it might be, you know, 5 minutes before the doors open and, you know, everybody's got a mobile device. So, hey, these are the key, you know, offerings that we have. And if you do this, you know, it's more like incentive, I guess, to get everybody to promote a certain product or service, you know, at that given time. And that's pretty interesting, because I think mobile still has a long way to go here in the U.S. as far as a marketing platform.
Yep.
Well, there's a tweet from Jeff Jarvis that just flowed by here that will point the way perhaps to a shift in new media, but also to a degree social media. He said that at Leo Laporte charges $70 a CPM for his targeted engaged audience. I've been just watching some of the things that he's been doing relative to accelerating audience engagement and how you go about giving people what they want, what they need, you know, opportunities to talk with one another. And he's tried all the friend feed stuff. But also that he's the number one radio guy on AM radio in LA on Saturday with 100,000 some listeners, but he has 300,000 plus downloads of the show. And so when you're out pitching your customers, or when you're really engaged with them relative to some of the strategies, how are you guys viewing organizations' need to produce media, to do podcasts, to write blogs, to do videos, you know, things of that nature? Is that a big part of your mix?
Yeah, that's a really good question. In fact, I have a slide that I show for our clients, and I'll send it over to you as well. It has one word on it, or one acronym, and it's CPM, right? It's a big white slide with three letters, CPM. Then my build is a big red X through it. $70 CPM?
$70 CPM, yeah.
That seems really cheap, because so many of our clients want the cheapest CPM, but they're not considering who the audience is. And you look at Leo's audience, we all fit into that, but you're reaching kind of the key influencers, as far as technology goes, and people that are using the latest gadgets, et cetera. When we look at those specific niche audiences, they can be tough to find, but with different tools that we use, we'll look at who the top bloggers in this space. Like Tim, you'd show up as a wine blogger, right? So if we had a wine client, we want to make sure we get some impressions on your site, or part of your newsletter, or what Leo does is he has these dedicated spots where he actually is a believer in the products, like a GoToMeeting and
yep.
whatever. Those are very effective. If you look at more broad-based reach, we just did one for reaching power moms. There are certain areas where power moms kind of congregate and hang out, and let's face it, the moms are what drive our economy. They're the decision makers when it comes to spending. They're actively engaged in ratings and reviews. They're actively engaged in different blog sites. You're not necessarily going to do a broad reach campaign for those type of markets. You might want to do something very, very specific. Not to say that, broad reach campaigns are going away, but if you're doing awareness, yeah, then sure, you need to have that. But if you want to have very, very specific engagements, you want to look for those communities out there. And they don't have to be big. They can be small communities, but you get the right audience. That's what you want.
Yep, absolutely.
Question. Well, speaking of audiences and speaking of the right audience, I'm really excited about the MEMA Summit. And as you know, Mark, we'll be live blogging the MEMA Summit for anybody that can't attend because it's sold out now, especially. But we're going to attend as many sessions as we can. We're also going to have a booth there where we can do interviews and so on. I understand that you're going to have a video crew there also.
Yeah. In fact, and we're really excited about it too. It's I think the biggest one they've ever had. And I think a lot of people forget, I moved here from the West Coast, is that the Minnesota Interactive Marketing Association is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, associations in the U.S. And it's something that we should take a lot of pride in, because it's a very vibrant community, such diversity in companies. And we're just really thrilled at the lineup that's happening this weekend and into Monday. We're going to have a film crew there. We've actually partnered up with the Social Wendy Group. They're going to be
Wendy Meadley. Yep.
Yeah, Wendy Meadley. Yeah, she's awesome. She's done a lot of work with Target for the National Civic Summit as well. That's a national outreach that the Obama administration is doing that with Target. And we're going to be having, you know, thought leaders. We invite all you to come by the booth, and we're going to be roaming around. We're Gage is sponsoring the drinks as well. And I think we're going to have, I don't know if this is confirmed yet, but the guys from, well, Rick Chella from XCare 11 and bringmethenews.com.
Yep.
So they're going to have a film crew stopping by as well. Our founder, Skip Gage, is going to be attending the Seth Godin discussion. So it's great to have Skip there. We're really looking forward to it. So make sure you stop by. We're going to be tweeting the whole day, as everybody will. We've got a couple, you know, hashtags out there right now. I mean, there's the MEMA hashtag and MEMA09, and we're directing people now to personal handles, but also to the Gage Group handle as well. So it's just amazing to see how fast these communities become activated.
Well, you know, Jen Kane talked at, I think, an Unsummit, Phil, about doing something akin to South by Southwest, and primarily because there are just so doggone many creative people in this market. I mean, when I was doing pre-press for Apple back in the 90s, 55,000 people in printing and publishing in Minnesota, and the agencies and all the creative, you know, photographers and videographers and print people and web design. And I mean, it's incredible in this community.
Yeah, I think with our heritage of all the, you know, CPG clients in town, you know, there's just a lot of creative that needs to go with it. And now with all these, you know, Target, Best Buy, General Mills, just to name a couple, but now that they're actively engaged in social media, we're now building up some very, very good skill sets here. I would actually vote for a TED type conference in the Twin Cities as opposed to by Southwest, but
yeah, well, there was one. Graham, you went to that.
Yeah, we had a locally organized thing called TEDx. It really isn't run by TED. They just sort of lend their name to it. And that drew a packed full house over at the, where the heck was it, at the Minnesota Science Museum in downtown St. Paul. I think it was early September. It was called TEDxTC.com. I tweeted a little bit about it. Yeah.
And by the way, how was demo?
Demo was awesome as usual. Yeah. I live blogged it using the same tool that Steve set up for us, Scribble Live, that we're using at NEMA Summit. Yeah, so it was great. Saw Aaron. Aaron says hello.
The Mind Touch guys are great. I was going to give a shout out to those. I love those guys.
Yeah, Mind Touch. Yeah, he's loving San Diego, and maybe we even will get out surfing one of these days. He's out to teach his daughter how to surf now, so that's pretty cool. And no Minnesota companies launching out there, but there was a Wisconsin company, so that's close. And lots of really great stuff as usual. And
now, did I see Chris Shipley's retiring from?
Yeah, she's moving on and managing her Innovate events in Europe and Asia, and might even be launching some in the regions in the U.S. And they've talked to me about Minneapolis, so with any luck, we'll get them to come to town someday and do one of their events. You know, her Guidewire group. Yeah.
So, Steve, what do we call it then, Steve? Do we call it North by Northwest or Central by?
Yeah.
Mid by Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest.
Jen and I have talked about that, and there's a guy in Detroit, too, that really wants to do something and maybe alternate between Minneapolis and Detroit, and, you know, so there's a lot of talk about that.
Music DNA here, too. You know, that's the thing. You know, we do bring in that music aspect.
Well, and then we have incredible podcasters like Tim Elliott with Winecast and the Minovate Gang. And although this show, I have to tell you, the packet loss, receiving packet loss on this show, I want to apologize to all the listeners. For some reason, maybe it's the modem that I have, the cable modem, maybe going out finally. But I've got about 16% received packet loss. I've been kind of watching the metrics. Well, it's those little things that come in that, you know, are assembled at the back end, and
what's a few packets between friends?
Yeah, there we go.
I usually get my packets by FedEx. Yeah.
Well, I've been thinking about
smuggled across the border in somebody's rectum. But anyway,
I got a few packets in my pocket, you know, and I'm going to go spend some on a beer here pretty soon.
Oh, hey, I wanted to make,
sometimes Steve just slips into that whole geek thing. It's too easy.
Yeah, right. The packet thing. But hey, Steve, before we sign off, I wanted to make a correction. I said Ben Edwards related to Head Mix. I am so sorry. It's Ben Moore. I've got too many Bens on my brain. Ben
got
Moore
it.
Is a local developer that was co-founder of that company. And so just wanted to get that in.
Yep. Okay. Sounds great. All right. Well,
yeah, I'll also stop by all day Monday and into Monday evening. You know, there's going to be, sounds like you guys will be video and podcasting. We're going to be capturing a lot of videos. People have material for their blogs and social media sites, et cetera. So there's going to be a lot going on. It should be exciting.
Yep. And we're going to bring our Kodak Instamatic cameras. So then it'll take 6 or 7 days for us to get our film developed and up scanned. And
I still got a Polaroid, so I'll bring that. So that'll be more instantaneous.
You know, actually you should, because it was funny when you were talking, Mark, well, I remember this conversation that I had with the guy that runs a group for Procter & Gamble called, oh my gosh, it just blew out of my head. They were going to spin out at one point, decided to keep in-house, and they had 250,000 young people that were part of an influencer group, and that each one of them, you know, had 20 or 25 people that they, you know, were in their direct circle that they could contact. And I asked them what the direction was relative to, you know, interacting with these folks through electronic means. And he stunned me by saying, well, we don't. We actually mail them the products.
Wow.
And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I mean, it's different. It's something they don't expect. And they get to actually, you know, pick it up and touch it and look at it. And it was a really fascinating. He said, we really don't do it really much electronically, which I found very interesting. Now, granted, they get a lot of
Mashable. I think this morning they're talking about, you know, the focus, you know, outreach. And I think what they did to kick it off was they sent everybody a big package of, you know, here's a video camera, here's some tickets, here's some swag. Do whatever you want. You know, of course, I got a car, so it helps. But, you know, I think that's starting to, you're starting to see the fruits of that outreach. And I think that was announced at Southwest last year, if I remember right, in that time frame. But yeah, there's a lot you can do. Again, getting back to the theme of this, you know, podcast, it was, you know, how is it integrating, I guess, and how do we have time metrics to it? And again, I guess the takeaway is that it's not a silo. It has to be used in conjunction with everything else you're doing. And yeah, there's a great example from Procter & Gamble, you know, the best marketers in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I know that what we have to do here at Minovate is create an iPhone app, right, Phil? Like the Mima app?
Yeah.
We have to do that.
Clearly, we need more apps. And in fact, we want to work on something with the Surface table where you walk into Steve's living room and you can throw your keys on it and find out where you're going and that sort of thing.
There you go. That's right. Oh, man. All right.
And you know, I got to tell you that I know I kind of made sport of that a little bit in the post about what Mima is up to, but it's pretty cool stuff going on there.
Oh, no question. No question. Well, they're eating their own dog food, so that's good. Well, guys, thank you. Mark, thanks for being on. This has been great.
Yeah, good to catch up with you guys.
Absolutely.
We'll see you in a couple days.
We'll see you in a couple of days. Yeah. All right.
Gotcha.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Yeah, go Gophers. Screw Bucky.
Yeah, Gophers. All right. Take care, guys.
Go Gophers out.
Bye-bye.
Now all my money's gone. Drove all night. Now all my money's gone. I have no gas in my car, and I'm a long, long way from home. Sad, sad day when the feeling of love is gone. a sad, sad, sad day when the feeling of love is gone. And the woman you love, you can't even call her on the phone. That's why I've got to go.